There is no such thing as being too far gone, too unworthy, too unlovable, having too much filth in your past. It's not about the mistakes you've made before or the lack of opportunities you see in the future. It doesn't matter how far you've drifted off or how long you've felt abandoned. No matter how close you are to giving up, you have to know that God is not through with you yet. He's not afraid of your mistakes or grossed out by your filth because He turns old things into valued treasure. It doesn't matter how far you've wandered because He can always find you in the wilderness. He's too loving to leave you where you are because He is a Father that would do anything for His children. And He's relentless in His pursuit of you.
Come on and say amen with me. Amen. If you would grab your Bibles, whatever you have, and stand with me and turn to Psalm 139. Praise God for our men that set the atmosphere. Amen. That brother Hova just got all the gifts. Amen. We praise God for him. All right. For those of you who are, again, attempting to use our digital notes, just go to the YouVersion Brown Bible app. In the bottom of the right hand, there's a tab that says More. Click on that and search for live events, and your church, Greater Bethlehem, will be right there. And you can save all the notes digitally right there in the app. It's a wonderful additional resource for each of us. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 139. I really want to read the whole thing.
Go ahead.
But amen. I ain't going to do that to y'all. Amen. Some of y'all are like, you better read something so I can sat back down. All right. I like to look at you sometimes. You look so wonderful on today. And it's some birthdays I've been hearing about. Amen. Sister Rosalind Frazier, who served so faithfully, she had a birthday. Sister, amen. Sister Stephanie Carter had a birthday. And I heard today is none other than Sister Helen Donaldson's birthday. Am I right about it? And, oh, I'm about to get to Willie Bruce. And hold on. Is that right, Sister Helen, today or tomorrow? Oh, well, close enough. Amen. All right. And then Willie Bruce snuck in on me. Willie Bruce, yours and Rosalyn the same day, as well as Stephanie. Amen. What happened in April back then? Amen. Somebody said it was working it out. Amen. Work it out. Woo! All right, Psalm 139. Y'all stay focused now. It's time for the word. Come on. I'm going to read two verses, the last two verses, 23 and 24 of Psalm 139. And by the time we finish the message, we should have covered most of the verses in this psalm. Listen as I read from the Christian Standard Bible. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I want to talk from the subject, come out of hiding. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Come out of hiding. Father God, we are so grateful for this tremendous privilege that you have afforded each of us on this day. Father, we don't say it as a cliche. This is the day that you have made. And Father, we've gathered for no other purpose but to glorify and to lift up your name. Now, Father, as we begin this series, I ask that you would faithfully encourage each of us. Lord, that we would not be defensive, but that we would be open to what your word has to say to us about our emotional health and well-being. So, Father, on today, as we lay a foundation for the entire series, I pray that you would help us to understand, Lord, that you love us, that you care for us, that you want what's best for us. So, Father, I pray that that theme would resonate with every heart assembled here today, and that we would, in the end, be better for having passed this way on today. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for the men. Thank you for the praise team. Thank you for the musicians, Lord. The atmosphere has been set. Now have your way in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Our message moment for today, which is captured in the video that we just saw, that, you know, there's no place you can go where the Lord is not there to redeem and to restore you. You can't get dirty enough that God can't clean you up. You don't have so much going wrong in your life that the Lord himself can't provide a method for healing and restoration. And that's the principle that we'll be dealing with these next several weeks, that there is healing and hope and wholeness for all of us. The message moment says this: let your guard down so that God can heal you. Let your guard down so that God can heal you. Let your guard down. An often quoted cliche that many of us are familiar with says this: this is only the tip of the iceberg. You've heard it before. You may have said it before. Here is the meaning of it. What we see is only a small portion of an even greater situation, good or bad. This is just the tip of the iceberg. This is why our human nature struggles with the area of transparency. I can only allow you to see what I want you to see, because if I open myself up fully, it may run you off. If I open myself up fully and disclose all of the hidden thoughts of my mind, my emotions, and my will, it may make you and me uncomfortable. So we keep our icebergs hidden. We keep people at a distance, not recognizing that it is only through community, the fellowship of the beloved, iron sharpening iron, that our lives are really improved. No one's life is improved set apart from God's will manifested in the life of a fellowship of believers. See, so few of us let people in. But even worse, we attempt to keep God at bay. And I'm here to declare that we do that as a result of it being a learned behavior. If I backtrack to Genesis chapter 3, we meet Adam and Eve in the garden after they had disobeyed a clear command of God. The Lord God gave them a specific command. It was not negotiable. It was not optional. It was a clear command. And as we would have done had we been in the garden, Adam and Eve both failed. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, these words are found: then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. You see, as a result of their actions, Adam and Eve devised the first cover-up. Oh, I'm preaching already. But the text is moving. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Do you see what's happening in Genesis chapter 3? Adam and Eve are hiding from both themselves and from God. They had the audacity to put on fig leaves to cover themselves up from each other, but then they put foot to action and attempted to hide from the presence of God. See, I know me. God bless you, Sister Joyce. I know me. And you know you. Amen. Y'all stay with me here. Well, this is foundational. This is introductory. It's easier to cover, hide, withdraw than it is to open, engage, and be healed. I'm going to say that one more time. It's easier to cover, hide, withdraw, than it is to open, engage, and be healed. And yet, that's what we're going to attempt to do over the next several weeks. To find healing for our hearts. Now please know, this will not be a sad pity party-ish series. But it would be a healing, overcoming, breakthrough series where if you let him, God and his people will surround you to comfort and encourage, and then ultimately all of us will walk into a new season of healing and wholeness. Help me preach this by looking at your neighbor and say, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Y'all didn't say that like you really mean it. Look at them. Look at the other neighbor. They weren't ready. Say, come out. Come out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So here is the question I'm going to throw out for just a moment for you to consider and contemplate. Are you hiding? But even greater than that, are you tired of hiding? So these are only questions that you can answer for yourself. Are you hiding and are you tired of wearing the mask? Of keeping people at a distance, of putting on fig leaves, thinking that you're hiding from someone else, but ultimately you're running from God. So this wisdom psalm that we've landed on, Psalm 139, it is a psalm by David, and it spotlights the divine attributes of our God, while demonstrating God's active engagement in the lives of his children. God cares for you. I need you to believe that. I need you to receive that. You don't have to agree with it, but you need to receive it. God cares for you, and God's redemptive love is so great that his love can overcome your doubts. His love can overcome your insecurities. His love can overcome that brokenness that's underneath the skin that you have suppressed for months, years, even decades. God cares for you. And David testifies to God's divine nature. Look at verse 1, if you will. Lord, you have searched me and known me. Lord, you have searched me and known me. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways before a word is on my tongue. You know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. The wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. I need you to get this down. He is essentially giving us three distinct attributes of our God. Here is the first one. God is in his omniscience. Get that big word down. That's just a big $5 word that means he knows all. His omniscience. He knows all. There is nothing that you do that God doesn't know about. Woo! God, help me up in here. And David went on to catalog and chronicle the reality of an all-knowing God. David says, wherever I go, you already beat me there. As a matter of fact, I'm about to say something. You know what's on my tongue. Y'all help me preach this. This speaks to the omniscience of God. He's all-knowing, and you should take comfort in the fact that he takes the time to know you. I almost said, no, you're behind. But to know you. Why is it, y'all? Why is it that we attempt to play hide and go seek with God? made healing and restoration available to all of us. He knows all. The tagline for this first principle is, God knows everything about you. Now that makes some of us sad, but it makes me glad. Let me tell you why it makes me glad. I ain't got to front in the presence of God. I'm coming to you this morning. I don't have to pretend, and I ain't got to brush my teeth in the presence of God. I come before God, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. And watch this. God says, that's my boy. You ain't got to get all dressed up for God. You know why? Because he sees through all of that. Everything you put on, God sees through all of that. You put it on for us in hopes that we won't get to know you. But God said, baby, don't even waste your time. Get your money back for them bags. Get your money back. I don't need all that. Take them nails off. I see through all that. Brother man, take that piece off. I see what's really going on. But y'all, it's not just the physical. It's the emotional. And that's what David is speaking of. He is speaking in the language that God knows my heart. He knows what hurts me. He knows where I'm wounded. He knows why I'm trying to learn how to cope and to overcome some stuff that may have been done to me. But other stuff may have been consequences to bad choices. Somebody say, he knows all. That's the omniscience of God. God knows all. But the second divine attribute deals with his omnipresence. His omnipresence. I'm still in the text. Look at verse 7. He says, where can I go to escape your spirit? It's almost like Adam and Eve, they were trying to dodge God. How do you dodge a God that's everywhere? Oh, God. It says, where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I live at the eastern horizon or settle at the western limits, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. His omnipresence. Get ready to write. He is everywhere. Get that down, y'all. See, I'm building a case that you may as well come out. Because the place where you hide in God is already there. Y'all got to help me preach this. You may as well let down the mask because God already sees the real you. He knows that many of us, if not all of us, have a tendency to front. I'm guilty of it, y'all. When you're on that first couple of dates, y'all stay awake. I'm just getting started. That first couple of dates, come on, come on now. Come on, just go back with me here. Those first couple of dates, all they get is your best outfits. Come on now, y'all. Come on. Come on now. They get your best. You make sure that they see your best. Now, once you know you got them. Some of y'all laughing too hard. Now, once you got them, then they get, they get the rollers and, but you know what I'm saying. The point is. We have a tendency to put on airs. And so the wrestling in the text, as David contemplates the divine attributes of God, he's like, Lord, you know everything about me. You know everything about everything. You are everywhere. So why would I ever flee from your presence? Why would I even try to hide? Somebody needed to hear today that this is the day that I'm going to stop running. This is the day I'm going to stop running. And I don't know what you're running from. You could be running from a calling. You can be running from a ministry assignment. You can be running from a relationship. You can be running from a family member. You can be running from just somebody in this church. Look at your neighbor and say, stop running. The divine nature of his omniscience, his omnipresence. He is everywhere. There is no need to hide from God. This telemarketer called this home, and a little boy answered. He was whispering, hello? And the telemarketer says, yes, who am I speaking with? The little boy said, this is Jimmy. Okay, Jimmy, how old are you? I'm 4. Okay, Jimmy, great. Is your mom home? Yeah, but she's busy. Okay, Jimmy, is your father home? Yeah. He's busy too. Okay, Jimmy. Who else is there? Jimmy said, the police. Jimmy, may I please speak with one of the officers? They're busy. Jimmy, are there any other grown-ups in your house right now? There's a fireman here. May I speak with the fireman, please, Jimmy? They're busy. Wait a minute, Jimmy. All those people are in your house, and I can't talk to any of them. What are they doing, Jimmy? They're looking for me. Y'all know what I want after 8 years of pastoring? I want to meet the real you. Whatever it is. Some of y'all laughing too hard. I can handle it. Somebody put their head down. Y'all, this is where healing begins to take place. And y'all, I watch us. We come to church Sunday after Sunday, and as soon as it's over, pew, we out the door. I'm not saying you running. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But the pew makes it difficult to build community. Help me, somebody up in here. And there's nobody that's that busy every time we gather. So it's possible that there's some hiding taking place. And let me tell you something. Where there is hiding, there cannot be healing. And so the bigger issue that we're dealing with is emotional health. And let me say something that's going to make you very upset, but I'm going to say it. I'm reading a book that's walking me through how I present this to you. And here is what he said. He said, there cannot be emotional health that is not attached to spiritual maturity. So he says, you may think you got it going on strong, but if you are emotionally hiding, running, covering, showing people what they want to see, then very likely there is not the level of spiritual maturity that you think you possess. So we can come out of all this hiding, y'all. Oh, God, is my mic on, AV? Is Jimmy still hiding? He's still whispering? All right, I'm on. Somebody say omniscience. Come on, say omniscience. Say he knows all. Say omnipresence. He is everywhere. He is everywhere. So the ultimate result of these first two is, watch this, God already knows everything about you. And number two, there is no need to hide from God. But David is continuing, verse 13, and we're going to turn this corner here real quickly. Verse 13, He says, "For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb." I want to pause right there. I want to emphasize before we get to the last attribute of God, that you are God's creation. Yes, you are. And I know what you're thinking, but Pastor Brown, I'm so messed up. How can I be God's creation? You are God's creation, child of God. And I need for you to understand something. It is okay to not be okay. But it is not okay to remain that way. It's okay to not be okay. But it's not okay to remain that way. Verse 14, "I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. God, how precious your thoughts are to me. How vast their sum is. If I counted them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up, I'm still," hallelujah, "with you." We've dealt with the omniscience of God. We've dealt with the omnipresence of God. God cares for you. Thirdly, the omnipotence of God. Watch this, y'all. He has all power. See, what I want to build in this message, I want for you to understand it's okay to be weak. It's okay to be withdrawn. It's okay to not have all the answers. Why? Because God has them all. He has all power, he has all knowledge, and he is everywhere, and it is okay to trust him with your destiny. Somebody say omnipotence. He has all power. So I'm encouraged to know that God made me and you according to his design. As David goes on to speak in verses 13 through 18, about how the powerful hand of God formed him and monitors him and is looking out for him, I'm encouraged. I need you to be encouraged. I need you to believe it for the first time in your life that God cares for you and he cares about everything that you are dealing with. So as we usher this to a close, this psalm captures David's desire for God to examine him and to help him to be and to live better. See, he's not just bragging on God so that he can remain the same. He is boasting, stay with me, and bragging upon the attributes of God. Because David is convinced that God is the one that's going to get him through this season. See, there's some stuff going on in David's life right now in this text. He got people lying on him, people hunting after him, people trying to kill him. Not because of anything he had done ungodly, just because of the fallen depravity of mankind. And then David goes on to communicate his own emotions in those verses that follow. David talks about how he hates those who hate God. Yeah, that's emotion. That's raw emotion. And he says, "I hate them with a hatred that is full of hate." That's the language. That's a lot of hate, y'all. That's a whole lot of hate. And some of you right now, you think, "I hate somebody just like that." Look at me. Stay right here. That's why we're in this series right now. Because y'all left the Bible and went to that individual. Come on in. Ugh, I feel you. I know. And those are the emotions that we got to tap into. Before I get to the last part, y'all, some of us, we live angry. And you can't figure it out. You don't know why. The slightest thing sets you off. Some of us live sad. And you've tried to shake it. You've tried to fake it. Others of us live in pain. Constant. And so David, in those following verses, he speaks to all those emotions. Lord, I need you to just kill them. Don't look at your neighbor. But have you just woke up? I ain't gonna say kill him. At least you thought, beat him. A little Color Purple reference. Beat him. Lord, if you just beat him, just twist an ankle, just blacken thou eye. Just come on, keep it real, y'all. We're almost finished. He said, Lord, they do evil to me. They rebel against you, Lord, and I hate them. Someone who's done you wrong, despite your desire and your attempts to do right by them. You tried your best to demonstrate the love of God, but all you got, I can't stand them. You know, that hatred, that anger, that pain is shortening our lives. So he makes his way, and we make our way to our two verses for the message. He says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. I know your version may read different, but that's essentially what it's saying. Here's the first thing as we get ready to wrap this up. As we enter into this series, as we get ready to dig and delve into some areas of discomfort, I need you to open up to God. Write that down. Open up to God. And by that, invite him to do a checkup. Yeah. Invite him to do a checkup. Can I be transparent, y'all? Let me tell you something. You can think that you got it going on strong. Because we're so good, watch this, at hiding and covering, that we can actually get lost in our own fantasies. I need a witness up in here. And y'all, there was a season in my life where I literally got lost in my own fantasy. I need a witness up in here. I created this illusion, and I had other people to co-sign on my illusion. That's some good friends. And y'all, some of us have insulated ourselves with people who only see things the way we see them. So I don't want you to begin with people. I want you to begin with God. I want you to open up and invite him to come in to do a checkup. It's going to be painful. If you're willing to do the work, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be frustrating, but it's the first step. And I put here in my notes, when you invite him in to do a checkup, you can trust the results. You don't have to get a second opinion when God does a checkup. I need a witness. I'm trying to close y'all. You don't have to go and verify with somebody else when God does a checkup. Secondly, when you open up, the second step is to own up. Own up to God. See, David, he opens up. He says, search me, know my heart. And then he gives this word, test me. Know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Now, Some of these questions we ain't got to ask because we already know. Ain't got no help. Am I the only one got some offensive ways in us? Am I by myself? I'm lifting my hand. Anybody gonna join me? You ain't got no offensive ways in you. You ain't typing nothing. Look up here. All right. I'm just checking. That kiss was not for you, Adam. It was for the lady behind you. Okay, just be clear. Offensive ways. So when you own up to God, you got to acknowledge your issues. Do y'all hear how slow I'm talking? I want to make sure you get this. I don't want to rush through any of the messages in this series. Acknowledge your issues and your shortcomings. Your sin. Your emotional instability. Your spiritual inadequacies. Y'all, I'm learning some terms that I've never heard before. And I'm trying my best, help me, Holy Spirit, to do my own checkup as I go through this series. Because I don't want to come off as if I got it all together and I'm just here to help y'all. This is shared responsibility. And I give you my word, I'm going to do the checkup and we're going to do it together. Thirdly and finally, we're finished. Open up to God. Own up to God. Thirdly and finally, obey God. Why are you going to ask him to give you a checkup if you're not going to do what he is telling you to do? Last verse, last clause of the last verse. He says, lead me in the everlasting way. He says, Lord, I'm not sure what you're going to find. Some theologians have said that David asked the Lord to search him because David knew there was nothing offensive in him. I don't believe that one minute. David's just like a single one of us. And if you're going to go through the process of taking off the mask, of coming out of hiding, you got to be willing to allow the Lord to lead you. You have to follow his, wherever that will take you. Last part of this, we're all on a quest towards emotional health and wholeness. So let's pray for each other. I want everyone to stand up with me now. Just stand up right where you are. If the musicians would play softly. You may not even know the person next to you, and it does not even matter. As comfortable as you can be, I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want us to pray for each other right now. You don't have to know their name. Don't even ask the name. Just pray for the person. Just two or three. Don't let anybody be by themselves. Make sure you get everybody near you. And just pray for each other. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. That's it, that's it. Mm-hmm.